Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Kodiak medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled Acorn Water.
Acorn Water. I'd been drinking acorn water for 3 days before we started, and then had gone 24 hours without eating or drinking anything. I went up to Elk Valley a day or two early to acclimatize myself, because I figured that I have these disabilities of diabetes and heart disease, and I have to work around that to get up there into the thin air of the high country before I start making medicine, walking up the trails, and doing all the other things you have to do when you're making medicine. So at midnight, Sunnybuck made a big stew for the helpers. Kogi hadn't been asking when he could eat. He just went without eating. And I thought he would be the one to be starved because he has diabetes and is always eating. But it didn't bother him. He just went without food and water for 24 hours like it was nothing. The next day I walked down into the valley and walked back up. And then the voices started talking to me and told me I was going to have to go up and purify myself. I had never done that before, because I had never been the medicine woman at a dance. And I had to do what it told me to do. I walked the trail through one creek and put water in my mouth, swirled it around and spit it back out into the water, and walked up to another creek, took some water into my mouth, swirled it around and spat it back into the creek. When you come back down the trail, you do the same thing. Nobody ever told me why you do that. I just know it's what you're supposed to do, like Auntie said. When they tell you to do something, you do it. You don't ask them why. If you need to know why, they won't have you. The voices will try to chase you out of the valley. When you get to just about where you're going to go, it starts trying to push you back and change your mind, trying to scare you. This power is pushing at you to go back. But if you persevere and keep going up that trail, then it will start helping you. But at first, it's like trying to tell you, stay out, go away, we don't want you. You have to be determined that you're going to go up that trail. When you start out at the bottom of the valley, it's nice and easy. And then when you just start to climb up the trail a little bit, it feels like you can't breathe, and you're tired. Something is trying to chase you back. By the time you get to the prayer rock, which is only about 200 yards from the bottom of the trail, and you sit on this little rock, then it starts talking to you. And from there on up, it isn't hard at all. It's a struggle for me because I have heart disease, and I'm too fat and diabetic, and everything else is wrong with me. So they never told me why, and I never asked them why. And now it's too late to ask, and I'll never know why. I have no idea why you go up that particular trail toward Chimney Rock and don't take some other trail. I just know that that is the trail to take. When I made this medicine, it was physically very hard, because the trail was steep and the rocks were sliding. I was using two canes because my back is bad. And in places, Kogi had to get behind me and push me when the trail got too steep. Before leaving the valley, I made medicine and blessed some kishwoof Longon had wanted blessed. While I was doing that, a group of about 20 people from the city came by. They were going on a camping trip at the other end of the valley and then planned to drop down to the other side of the valley into Smith River country. Sunnybuck and Longon told them they couldn't come up the valley or stay there because I was there making medicine for a ceremony. So they walked all the way around the valley to where they were going to go. We could feel as well as hear them coming. Since I had finished making the medicine, I could sleep that night. When I went to sleep, instead of having my usual dreams, I had dreams of people racing cars on a city street. I kind of woke up and thought, what the hell? Where'd that come from? Then I fell back to sleep and started dreaming about something really bad happening in a city, some kind of confrontation with a gun going off. Didn't see what really happened, but I felt the ominous influence of it. I thought, go back to where you belong and get out of my mind. And then it went away. After that, I started having the more traditional dreams that I had expected to have. I wondered what I was putting into their minds, because if I was getting their thoughts, they must be getting mine. It's a two-way street. I was probably freaking out some city person, because when my dream came to me, I was shape-changing on a cliff someplace. When you go to Elk Valley or to other spiritual places to make medicine, whatever the power is starts talking to you, but you don't know what it's saying. You want to know what it is saying to you. So you fast and starve yourself and go without water. You pray and go into a trance. Then you'll understand what has been said to you. I don't know if people hear the same things or not, because in the high country there is no comprehension of the language they are speaking. To me, it sounds like the language of speaking in tongues among Christians. But then after it talked to me for a long time, the voice would stop, and then I would feel tired and lie down and rest. When I woke up from that rest, I would know what had been said to me. During the rest, it was interpreted for me, because I guess it knew that I was incredibly stupid. Anyway, it took the time to be interpreted for me. So it's similar to the Christian experience of someone talking in tongues and someone else interprets what they said. But in this case, the interpretation takes place in my mind while I'm resting. I don't know if I'm in a trance, if I'm asleep, or if I'm just resting. My helpers who saw me at that time thought I was napping. My grandson Kogi was my male helper because he has gifts too. For the past 4 or 5 days, I just had a little bit of acorn water, about a half a cupful, a couple times a day. But my helpers only fasted before they were going to help me with something, like going up the trail or whatever I needed to do. Kogi wanted to know if he could eat, and I told him that I didn't have the slightest idea if my helpers could eat yet or not. We had come down from the mountain, and they had not eaten since the day before. Kogi said he was hungry, and the cook had made stew for my helpers and for the others who were there helping my helpers. I had quite an entourage with me. You can take 5 or 6 people with you, or you can just take 1 or 2 people. There are always at least 2 people helping. My helpers wanted to eat. They just couldn't stand to go without eating. I told my granddaughter that it would be the end of the day at midnight, and they would have gone all day without eating, but that I didn't know for sure what they could do about eating. My grandson said, "Go to sleep, Grandma. Go to sleep, and then come back and tell us what we can do." He said that because he knew each time I went to sleep, I would come back and know what I was supposed to be doing. This was all new to me, because I had not been trained to be the medicine woman for the brush dance. It feels like you went for a nap, but you don't feel like you took a nap when you wake up and come out of this whatever it is, say, nap, just to make it understandable. But when you come out of the trance, you know what it said. This time it told me, go home. You have all the power you need for that dance. Sunnybuck was with me helping out, and I told him, I'm going home. He said, oh, those people scared you off, so you're going home early. He still thought I was just afraid of those people, so I told him that it was late anyway, and we would just go home tomorrow. But he said he was going to stay out there until Wednesday. I said, no, it told me to go home. That thing out here told me to go home. He just kind of laughed at me. I said, I'm supposed to go home tonight. They never scared me off, Sonny. I'm through. It's made. It's done. I've got everything I need. I don't need anything more. You can stay out here as long as you want to. I don't own the valley, but I'm going home.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called High Country Voices. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Lura Cooper.